Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Shalom, 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 everyone. Grace and peace. Hallelujah. All praises is Job Israel of Cummins and Ministry Bible Study Class here at the Sunday Morning Breakfast Brunch with you. The Sounds of the Living Water family, man, listen, man, trying to get this particular precept in the air has been a challenge. The enemy don't want this precept on record. Unfortunately, the Father had the final word. So, as far as the enemy concerned, the Father has the final word, and that this precept is going to be in a record book for those whom it may concern, that we should know how to keep the Lord these days and not be caught up in the world. That's if those things are important to you or myself. Well, they are to me because, well, obviously I wouldn't put the time in. But to you, if these things are important to you, you will make a huge difference also in your own being. So look, let's get started in this. I don't want to get off the whole lot of time. Let's get into this. Let's get into this precept. When the biblical new year begins, what it means is January the 1st, the biblical new year. Aren't we supposed to count these days of God, the Christian calendar, that is to say those things that belong to God, on January the 1st? Or are we supposed to look further or deeper or look past the things that are secular? Let's look at that. Let's open up in prayer, and then we're going to get started. So we can ask our brothers and sisters if we can stand, face Jerusalem as we approach the Father. Sisters, if you can, cover your heads. Brothers, if you can, uncover your head as we approach the Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brother and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and kindness upon us. Father, have mercy on them and families as well. And Father, have mercy on my children and our children's children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to proceed and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us and send forth your Holy Spirit upon them as well and give them a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the faith to perform. In Jesus' name we pray for your mercies endure forever. Amen. Hey, man. So, look, people, brothers and sisters, we are dealing with January the 1st right now. Well, it's all in our face. 2020 is over with. The coronavirus is a drag. Okay, we get that. All right. Now it's a brand new year. We're going to do bigger things. We're going to... No, it's not a new year yet. You're ahead of yourself. I'm not judging you because I was there. What I'm saying is that I'm telling you the truth of God that the new year hasn't begun yet. Because the biblical new year would not have you to start a new year in the dead of winter where there's nothing new. You don't have any grass. You don't have any leaves budding. You don't have any chicks making nests or laying eggs so that they chicks can hatch and all the critters is out here and everything is refreshed and life is new. No, it wouldn't do that in the middle of the winter. But there's a reason why we do have these things. What do you mean? January the 1st. What is that to us? You know, what is January the 1st to us? You know, those that's conscious, you know, so to say, those that are conscious. We act like we're conscious. You know, we act like we're conscious, you know, especially when we start getting into what we're really doing in the world, then we find out that we're really slaves to the system. And that's the biggest problem of the truth, is to accept the fact that you are not free. You never was, and that you've been a slave to a system that have been teaching you lies ever since you've been born. So how can you have the power of the truth or say you even dwell in the truth when your whole life has been this, a lie? You see, this is that thing. So we got to do this. We got to separate the truth from the lie. And if we call ourselves servants of God, then we're going to separate the truth from the lie. Why is that? Because the Word of God tells us that we got them. What are you doing, man? All right. So the truth that I tell us, like I said, baby boy, ain't it true? Anyway, so we got this thing that we're celebrating right now, which is called the first of the year. What you're looking at right now is January the 1st. Well, where did January the 1st come from? Where's its origins? Who told us that January the 1st has anything to do with June? Stop it. Stop. I'm busy. Everything to do with January the 1st. What is this thing? What are we doing? What is January the 1st? Where did it come from? That's the question. We have these things called what we acknowledge in this book that we've been researching now. Those of us that's been in the truth, have been in the truth for some time, have acknowledged this book called The Last Million Years. And this thing is actually called Taking a Life Absorbed into our consciousness. So a lot of us don't realize that these things are pagan. A lot of us don't realize that these things are pagan and they from God. They're not from God. People are doing these things because they think they're from God. You see? So that's the other thing. People think that certain God by performing things like January the 1st. People think that this is from God, and it's not. So here we are again. Excuse me, I am stalling now because my baby boy here, he is really was getting on my nerves. He was thirsty. So anyway, Blue Nose Staffordshire, of course, right? What was I? Yes, January the 1st. Is that the new year? Is that the new year? Well, let's look at that. In ancient Roman religion and myth, Janus, right, pronounced Janus, J-nus, Janus, is the god of beginnings. This is why you have, they call in this January, Janus the first, beginning, new beginnings, new year, the new beginnings. This is what people were celebrating with this, the fireworks and all that type of stuff, you know. What's crazy is they're not celebrating Satan. This is another devil. And I don't know if Satan gets this type of glory, but this is that thing. They celebrating an entirely different spirit. This isn't Satan. This isn't Beelzebub. Even though it's a devil, this isn't Beelzebub. This isn't the prince of the powers of the dark. This is one of his minions that has found a way in this world to manage to get people to follow him. And this is what he did. So, this is what, so most of the world acknowledged that April 1st, which happened to be just after the spring equinox, which is always in March. So March 20th, right? The spring equinox is in March 20th. So the thing is that when the spring equinox kick in, that's when the world acknowledged that it's a new year. So 17 days after the spring equinox kick in, which is, it's 31 days in March. So 11 days after the spring equinox kicks in, which is March the 20th, every year, you got April 1st, which was the world acknowledged was the new year. Why? Because everything is new. Grass isn't. It's really relevant at that point. Evident at that point. The chicks and everything is evident at that point that this is another season. This is a new year. We only have two seasons in the Bible: winter and summer. That's it. We don't have fall and spring. Those things don't exist to us. So when we look at the spring equinox, that's the beginning of the year of summer to us. Now, at that point, we start acknowledging when is the first new moon within the spring equinox, which is always in March, which is March 20th something. All right? So when the spring equinox kick in, Abib is within 7 months coming, 7 months going. I mean, forgive me. 7 days coming, 7 days going. It's got to be within a week of the equinox. This year is 7 days coming in. Okay, so the equinox is actually 7 days later after Abib. You see, so we got to pay attention to the equinox as well. And you got a winter equinox that we call the fall equinox, but to us it's the winter equinox because it actually kicks off the fact that we are now in a winter that we can celebrate the Feast of Trumpets, which is a winter feast. Trumpets, Atonement, and Gathering, Tabernacles are all winter feasts, or what we call winter harvest, which is the world we refer to as Thanksgiving, but to us, at those times, those things are referred to us as the winter harvest. Amen? So this is that. So we're separating those things from what we know is the world is secular. What do you mean? You have now this new year, which is 2020, January the 20th, it kicks off right now, the new year, boom. All right, so we got the celebration of all the liberation and drunks and orgies we can get into, and then you got the celebration of Bacchus, right? Then you got Eros is coming up, it's February the 14th, which is when you get the eroticism. Okay, everything got to land in some orgies. That got to land in some sex. Got to come in. It got to be a reason for cause and effects to cohabitate in secular religions, right? The only one you actually get the pause from all this is Easter. Aside from that, man, everything got hooks in it. So when it comes to sex, so you got Eros, and then you got, of course, Easter and all those things, and then it just goes to a whole brand new thing. We're not getting into all of that because we just passed on that. Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, all of that stuff is now up under January the 1st, which is what we call secular feast. This is that thing. What we're doing is we're separating the secular feast from the prophetic feast. You can't gauge the secular feast with the prophetic feast. They can't coexist. They are completely opposite of each other. One will tell you that Jesus was born in the dead of winter. The other one will tell you that Jesus was born at the turn of the winter harvest. So we got a lot to look at. One thing we need to know, when is the beginning of the month? That's the first question. So here it is. Let's get into that. What is the beginning of a month? What's the beginning of a month? Amen. To us. So let's start there. Let's start this in Deuteronomy chapter 21. And let's pick it up at verse 10. Deuteronomy 21 and verse 10. Now, when we went out as a kingdom, we went and we conquered just like the states is doing even now. So we went and we conquered, and we took over spots and things like that. And sometimes you'll see something in the land, like a beautiful woman or something, and you say, well, one of the brothers or whoever will want to marry her. So this is the law of when you see a strange woman in a strange land that you just conquered, but you want her for your wife. Now, this is the law for that. Now, we're not really dealing with her, but it's a law in here that points out something that we usually don't really pay attention to. And this is what we need to listen to. It says this, Deuteronomy chapter 21 and 10. When thou goest forth from war against thine enemies, the Lord thy God delivered them into thy hand, and thou hast taken them captive. And seest among the captives a beautiful woman, and has desired her that thou wouldest have her to thy wife, and thou bring her home to thy house. Well, we see now that if you're going to have a wife, you got to have a what? Yeah, well, this 21st century, we already see we got that wrong. So that's an easy kill, right? So maybe we can get some real agreement when we get into the spiritual side of it. So he's telling you, before you even bring her home, you got to have you a house and bring a woman home too. Then it says this, thou shalt bring her home to thine house, and she shall shave her head and part her nails, or cut her nails and cut her hair off. All right? And she shall put on the raiment, she shall put the raiment of her captivity from off her. So she's not going to dress like she used to dress anymore. Like, we're not supposed to dress like the world. The world is supposed to dress like us. So he says she's going to put off the raiment of her captivity, all that stuff that she used to wear, the dashikis and all that African stuff is gone. Or the Babylonian stuff, you know, the Roman look, gone. She's going to have to dress like a Hebrew Israelite, flat out. Head covered, face covered, shoulders and arms covered, legs covered, okay? That's all to it. Anyway, she put off her captivity and shall remain in thine house and bewail the father of her mother a full month. Wait a minute. Here's something that jumps out at us. Now, the first question to me is that, okay, well, what is a full month? All right, because I'm already going through this. I already looked at shaved head, got that. Part nails, okay, we got that covered. Got your own crib, okay. She's a stranger, so we can marry strangers, got that. But it's this, it says, she shall bewail her father and mother a full month. So what's a full month to us? Because January the 1st has 31 days, if I'm not mistaken. So is that a full month of God? Is that a full month of God, January the 1st? How can January the 1st, if it is a full month of God, then every month got to be 30 days.
because he said a 4 month. So whenever he said a 4 month, whenever he said, when we go here and we start investigating what's a 4 month, because this should jump out in our heads, because this is the first time you actually hear him say 4 month. So when you look at this and you say 4 month, you have to say to yourself, what is a full month? So is January the 1st, which is 30 days, 31 days, a full month according to the scripture? That's the first thing. Because remember now, we're dealing with a new year. So this is the beginning of the month. So first thing we have to understand that God has a thing that he says he called a full month. So what's a full month to him? Well, let's look at that. Let's go into Revelations 11 and 1. Revelations 11 and 1. It said, there was a reed giving me a reed like a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure not. It is given unto the Gentiles, the holy city, shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now we got this conversation. So now you said 42 months. So if this 42 months, then they're going to be 4 months. Because we already heard the conversation of a full month. So you're going to have 42 full months. 42 full months right here according to Revelation. So now here's another conversation. What is 42 months? How do we get to that? Well, you know what? It's a beautiful thing that the God of Israel is a genius. He's a genius, right? Right up on our nose, he do the math in verse 3. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,203 score days, clothed in sackcloth. So what do you do? So now everybody identified 42 months is 3.5 years. Everybody identified 1260 is 3.5 years. But then we got a problem with what's a half a year. Because some of us is going by lunar moons instead of operating under this calendar of 1,260 days or 42 months, 42 full months. We are not operating in the full month. So what is a full month? Well, here's the thing. Let's do this. Those of us that have access to calculators, and if we are 21st century people, then we should have calculators at our presence all the time because we always deal on the numbers. Okay, so what we want to do is take 1,200 and divide it by 42. Amen? Take 1,200 divided by 42. 42 divided by 1,260. Try it again. 1,260 divided by 42. There it is. Oh, God. Okay, 1,260 divided by 42 is what we have in Revelations chapter 3. We're divided by Revelations chapter 2. All right, so 1,260 divided by 42 months is 30. So a full month to God is 30 days, not 31. So we see now January the 1st should be a big problem with you if you are a truth seeker, if you believe in the truth and the truth, if you are bound by the truth and the truth is your covering, you believe in those things that belong to the truth. Right now you got a huge problem. Because January the 1st has 31 days in it. And right after that, February has 28. But the Bible said a month to him is 30. So we got an issue. We got an issue. Right here, how we're supposed to gauge the prophetic feast versus the secular feast. So we can't gauge the prophetic feast with a secular calendar, because we see immediately that the secular calendar is off already by 3 days. One, it starts off, January is 31 months, 31 days in a month. That's 1 day plus. Then you subtract 31, right, to 28, that's three. See that? You lose your 3 days and three nights right at the beginning of the gate. Otherwise, you're supposed to be 30-30. But if you follow in the secular calendar, that's what you come up with. Amen? So, let's look at this. Let's twist this. Let's do this. Let's take 30, right? Because we see now 1260 divided by 42 is 30. So let's take this 30, right? Let's take 30 and multiply it by 1260. No, 42. There it is. 1260. See that? So a month of God is 30 days because it's testifying of itself. So right now, January the 1st is blown out of the window. Where did January the 1st come from? Because we got to look at that, man. If it's not here, why are we doing it? If it's not scriptural, then it got to be satanic. If it's not holy, then it got to be ritual. And people is praying and making oaths and all this stuff during the season. See that? So what is it? What is it to us? You see? So what's a month? So we got a full month here, right? 30 days. So we found out a full month of God is 30 days, 42 times. You can't go wrong with that. A full month to God, we found out in Revelation chapter 11 and 2, is 30 days, 42 witnesses, 42 times that a full month is 30 days. Can't go wrong there, because you take that 30 and multiply it times 42, and you're going to come up with 1260, which is in Revelation chapter 3, which is confirming the fact that a month to God is 30 days. January the 1st is destroyed. Concerning a month or beginning of the year, biblically, it has nothing to do with God. So now we see that. Now we see that. So the next question is, when is the first, when is the beginning of the year to us that we, you know, that we don't get caught up in these things? And what is this? Why are we celebrating? Why is it so big? Let's look at this quickly so that we can move on. And then we get into what we're getting into. We don't have to go back dealing with this again. Because once we get this behind us, we're going to be in a new year anyway. So there's no reason to even go back to this conversation. So, yeah, let's look this up. January, right? First of all, let's look up the word January, where it come from. Okay, January. The first month of the year in the northern hemisphere, usually considered the second month of winter, right? Okay, January. It says right here in Wikipedia, you know, it starts, in, of course, once again, January is the first month of the year of the Julian and Gregorian calendars, and the first of 7 months, which have 31 days, case in point. So we can't use that. Can't use it because the rest of the month is off too. Because if you got 7 months with 31 days, then that is contrary to what we just got to read in Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3. Revelations 11 and 1, 2, and 3. We just, this right here is contrary to all of that. So we just found out what calendar this is based off of. It's a Julian calendar, which is Roman, and Gregorian calendar, which is also Roman. But this, the Gregorian sealed it by religion, which is the Pope. Pope Gregory, which is the 8th, came up with this calendar. He sealed it and made it religious, right? In doing so, we now have January the 1st being a new year, which at one point, April 1st was the new year that the whole world was celebrating. The whole world was celebrating it. Then they changed it to January the 1st to extend the winter solstice celebration. Only made sense. So now, everyone that believes that April 1st is still a new year is an April Fool. See that? That's that thing. Amen? All right. Ancient Roman observance during the Servilia Junilia celebrated January 1st as one of the Agonalia celebrated January 9th as the Carmentalia celebrated January 11th. Why are we looking at all of this inside of that? So the Saturnalia kicks off all of this, man. You still telling me satanic rituals are still being practiced under all of this madness? You see? This is that thing. So now we see here that they were actually worshiping paganism or gods, different gods throughout the month of January, those 31 days, right? Okay, so now we see that January isn't a month that we, those that believe in God, would participate in. Now, if you don't believe in God and if you have decided that, well, it's a new year to me and I don't care and this, that, and the other, well, that's fine. Just know that you didn't take the red pill. You chose the blue pill. The red pill is the truth. That's all he said. That's the whole question. Are you going to accept the truth or are you going to take the blue pill and live a lie? So you can't say you live in the truth and you took the blue pill saying, well, I'm still going to celebrate January the 1st as a new year. Because you're still a lie unto yourself. This is that thing. So when you acknowledge that January the 1st is the blue pill, forgive me, we acknowledge January the 1st is your new year, you have co-signed with the world. And so this conversation from here on in don't pertain to you because you're asleep to these things that we're about to talk to or talk about. These things belong to those that believe in God. So I'm not here to convince anyone what belongs, you know, what to follow or any faith or anything like that. All I'm here is to do is show the difference on what you call a watchman's that discerns seasons. You know, and so that's what I do. So I'm here to tell you the difference between the feast days and what is secular. Amen. So here in Babylon, just like our elder brother Daniel was in Babylon, he was a watchman. He was able to determine the seasons. So now we have a biblical season now. Like I said, once again, the biblical feast days at this point don't apply to you. If you already accepted that January the 1st, after hearing that, it's still going to be a new year to you. Then these things is going to be deaf to your ears because they're not for you. So nobody's offended. We all make our choices that we have to live by, and it is what it is. So what is a new year to us then? Let's start this in Genesis chapter 1:1. I'm going to read this. It says this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. This is the beginning of the month. Right here is the beginning of the first day of Abib. Now, those of us that have notebook, paper, and ink pen. Yeah, I'd like to do you, like to have you to do a project with me right quick. So this thing, it'll be just more apparent. You know, it's really not really complicated. All I want you to do is take a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil if you have it available, and just go like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. And I want you to write on top of that Abib. Don't forget that. Now, Abib is a derivative of Abba, which is the beginning, which is the father. So January do not represent the father at all. So that's another thing it's trying to take you. Father, time is going out and we get new beginnings. Father, time is going. What? Y'all killing them. Stop. Anyway, so Abib, right? So now we got here in the evening, in the morning, were the first day, right? So now, this is the first day. So now up under six, right? You take this and you go one. Why? Because on top of six, this is Adam beginning, right? He was created on the sixth day. No, I'm not saying that the earth is 12,000 years old. Nope, 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 nope. We know that the earth is billions of years old because in the beginning, billions existed, right? So, but when he said, let there be light, and the evening morning was the first day, that brought, he brought a compass on depth. Right, he brought a compass on north, south, east, and west on depth. Other words, eternity just got gauged. Right, no doubt, no doubt. Solomon saw it. Proverbs 8. So here it is. It says, "Was created on the sixth day." Right. So now you go there, and you go up under 7, 2, 8, 3, 9, 4. Right. 10, 5, 11, 6, 12, 7. So Adam, from the sixth day, he go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, which bring you on to the 12th day in the creation, which just happened to be the Sabbath. Ain't that something? So this is already on point, right? Okay. But then you have a 13th and a 14th day because he said this, I will no longer drink of this vine till my father's kingdom. That was on the Passover that he said that. Then he said this, in order to take part in the Passover, you must be circumcised. So you put 8 up under 13, and then you put 9 under 14, and then you put 15. And then you put 0. Why is that? 13 and 8 is the circumcision. Ishmael was circumcised when he was 13 years old. Isaac was circumcised when he was 8 days old. This is the great white throne judgment. Man would be circumcised of the flesh. They would stand before God as spiritual beings and would be judged in their spiritual bodies, whether they'll be with God or in the lake of fire for all eternity. That's on the eighth day, which is the 13th day in the creation. Now, on the eighth day, you're circumcised. Now, if the Lord passed over your sins, you get to what? Take part in the Passover on the 14th day, like he said, in my Father's kingdom, after the great white throne judgment. Here come New Jerusalem, coming down from God. Here come the Father. On the 14th day, like he said. But you can't take part in the Father unless you're circumcised. And he said he won't deal with no uncleanness. So He's going to purge out the wicked and the unclean on the eighth day. That's the flesh. All that's done away with. And then if you pass over your sins, then you're going to take part in the New Jerusalem coming down, which is in the 14th day of the creation, which will happen to be the ninth day in the days of Adam, which bring you to what? Immortality. Ask yourself, how many planets in our solar system? 9. How long is a woman in pregnancy? 9. 9 months, and then here we are. See that? See that? He had set the solar system according to prophecy, if we allow ourselves to see it. Like I said, those of you that accepted the fact that January the 1st is your new year, you have taken the blue pill. You are not here. These things are not for your ears. Trust me. Those things, these things here aren't for your ears. So here comes New Jerusalem coming down from God. So this is the ninth day. So the 15th day is what? 0. Because there is no such thing as 0. That's nothing. So what do you mean? No more flesh. No more flesh. Guess what this is? The 15th day of the first month brings us to 0, which happened to be a full moon. In the 15th day of the first month. I'm just saying. I mean, the speech is in itself. It all depends on what you want, you know, how we receive it. If you want to receive it, that's between you and God. If you don't want to receive it, that's between you and God. But like I said, if you accepted the fact that January the 1st is your new year, you have taken the blue pill, these things don't pertain to you. Apologies. So now we see a full month of God is 30 days. So wait a minute. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into the law. Let's go into Genesis chapter 7 and verse 11. All right? We still got our calculators out. Genesis 7 and verse 11. And it says this. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month. Wait a minute. Slow down, Brother Joe. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, of the second month. So we just found out, according to Revelation 11:2-3, and according to Numbers, I mean Deuteronomy chapter 21, that a full month is 30 days. So my assumption is, in verse 11, is that the first month was 30 days. Right? According to the law. According to what we just got to investigate. So this is supposed to correlate or coincide with what we just got to go through. 42 months and 1,200 days equal 30. Or 30 times 42 equal 1260. So this is supposed to correlate with that conversation because the law and the prophets testify themselves. The prophets and the apostles testify themselves, right? Okay, so now let's look at this. In the sixth, I'm reading just 11 again. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were open, right? So we're not dealing with the flood today. We're dealing with this right here, months, right? We're dealing with this month conversation. So we got the first month. Let's just assume, because of the testimony that John gave in Revelation chapter 11, that a month of God is 30 days. So let's just assume that. So we're going to say 30 and then 17. So you say 30 and 17, you add those up. Because the year started, because the first month has to be 30 days, because every Abib from the new moon to the next new moon is 31 days. But within that is 30 days. So the following new moon is going to be exactly 31 days. The following new moon and every Abib
That's in that month in itself too. The second month also has to be 30 days because the Passover is in there. The second Passover is there too. So it has to be 30 days. So right out the gate, we see January the 1st is jacked up, and then we see February is jacked up. So January and February cannot be the biblical calendar of God, which is established a long time ago. We're seeing even first, we're seeing now how even farther away from God it really is. Amen. So it says this. In the 600 year of Noah's life, in the second day of the month, the 17th day of the month, the same day where all the fountains of the deep broken up and the windows of heaven opened. Okay, so now let's take those calculators that we just used and let's add 30 and 17 because that's a conversation. Now, remember that we're assuming that the first month is 30 days on the predication of Revelation chapter 11 and 2. So we're going to assume that that's 30 days so that we're going to add that there and say, because what Revelation 11 said, we're going to say that's a 30-day month. We're going to say that. Okay? So, let's skip down to Genesis 7 and 24. It reads, and the water prevailed on the earth 150 days. So now we see another number here, days. It said 150. So we add 150, right? We got 30, 17, and 150, which brings us to 197. Amen? So now what do this mean to us? So you add these, now those of us that still got our calculators out, okay? Those of us that still got our calculators out, let's add this up. Okay, you got 30 plus 17 plus 150 equals 197. Okay, would this make sense to us? And how would this have anything to do with Revelation chapter 11? Okay, remember now, we are still on the assumption that 30 days is kicking this all off. So if a month of God is not even mentioned here in the first month, but then it testifies of itself that it's 30 days here, then we got to roll with this. We got to roll with this. If it don't say it and it still come up the same, we got to roll with it. Watch this. Let's go to, excuse me. Genesis chapter 8, and it says, does God remember Noah and every living thing, that all the cattle that was in, that was with him in the ark? God made a wind to pass over the earth, and earth and the water were assuaged, and the fountains of the deep were, of heaven was stopped, and the rain of heaven was restrained, and the water returned from off the earth continually, and at the end of 150 days where the water abated. There, that conversation right there again in Genesis chapter 7, 24. After 150 days. So we added, so remember now, he said the rains began at the second month, on the 17th day of the month, which has been 47 days into the year. All right? So now he said, add that, and then he said, now here it comes, verse 4. And the ark rested on the seventh month. So now we're in the seventh month now. Remember now, a month of God is 30 days. On the 17th day of the month, upon the Mount of Ararat. Okay, all right, let's do this. Let's subtract 17, because remember now, the flood in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 12, 17 popped up in the second day. So we see it here in verse 4. Let's subtract that, okay? Subtract 17 from 197, and what do you come up with? 180. There you go. So that, let's see, well, now, wait a minute, because see, remember that we are on the assumption that the 30 days here is
predicated off Revelations chapter 11. If this is a true science, then this will coexist with this scripture in Genesis chapter 8 and 4. What do you mean? Let's divide 180 by 30, right? Because we're looking at the seventh month. So the 17th day of the month meant we already had the first. So you said the 17, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So 1 testified of the beginning of the seventh month, right? So in the 17th, as we subtracted all of that, we are now 6 months.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.